today, and we look forward to meeting the Lord in this place and having time and an opportunity to be able to spend with Him on a special day in a lot of ways. Today is the ordination service of Steve Kelly, and we're so glad to be able to be a part of that. We look forward to what God's going to continue to do with Steve along the way in the future. Also, if you're part of our online audience again today, we want to thank you for joining us. As always, we have you have an advocate. You've got a voice, our very own, Dr. John Cazito, online minister here. So if you ever have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever, you can post them to Dr. Cazito. And if he doesn't have answers, he will get you answers. So we're so tickled to death for the opportunity to be able to have him on board with us, and does such a great job. If you're never sure about what the sermon was like, look at his notes, because he's got some of the best notes I've ever seen in my life down there in the comments. He's just got everything laid out right there, and I appreciate him and I love him. So we're glad you're here today. We look forward to what the Lord's going to speak into our hearts individually today as we come around and support Steve, and most of all, praise and worship our Lord and Savior. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we thank you so much for these moments that we get to spend with you, these moments that we get to spend with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we will never take for granted the opportunities that we have to come and, Lord, to draw close to you, Father, to go through the battles together, Lord, to enjoy the victories together as well. So, Father, we pray that today you will truly help us. We also realize, Lord, that Satan doesn't want us to hear from you today. He'll do everything he can to try to distract us from hearing your word. And, Lord, right now I pray that the Holy Spirit would truly have freedom in this place today. I pray that you would help us to put aside any of the cares of the day that we have, or any of the schedules that we have, that we truly might be able to be still in your presence and hear from you. Father, as always, we pray that if there is one within the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would that put their trust in you and truly find out what life is really all about. Lord, we also pray that during these times that we're here together, as we know you, that you might draw us close to you. Lord, bring us within your presence as only you can. And Lord, we will praise you in advance for what we know you'll do, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
turn with me to 426, Victory in Jesus.
Amen. Today is a special day for us at Central Baptist Church, but also for our very own Steve Kelly for quite a while. This is not something, you know, to surrender to a call to serve the Lord. First of all, it's not something that just happens overnight. Now, some of you might be saying, well, if everybody's listening to the Lord, it may be, but you know, you seek His guidance, you seek His will, and I can still remember when I was in Virginia, that I had this moment that after when I graduated from the police academy, that I looked around and I saw everybody looking like, well, this is the pinnacle of life. This is their career. They were celebrating as well they should. But for me, it just felt like, I was like, there's something that's kind of hollow about this. Now, you got to remember, the Lord called me to ministry when I was 15 years old. And I've said before, I said, I went through Bible college and everything. And I said, I accidentally got a job as a police officer in Lynchburg. But I know it wasn't an accident. It was all part of God's plan in my life, just like most of us know. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So, yeah, it was one of those situations where, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, you know, okay, I'm just like, the graduation was like an everyday thing for me. I'm like, okay, it was cool to be here. But it was a different story at my ordination. To me, that was the pinnacle. And that was when I realized, I'm like, now I understand, because that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach. And when he called me to preach, that simply meant that I wasn't going to be satisfied with doing anything else. Now, I've said this before. I try to sit back and say, I told a guy one time, I said, I don't know if taking advice from me is a good thing. I said, I'm a young guy. And he said, brother, you got to start to face the facts at some point. You're not as young as you used to be. So when you've been in ministry for over 30 years, you're not as young as you used to be. So people will begin to, you know, maybe take a little heed into what it is that you may have to say. And I've been asked before, I said, you know, when people say, well, how do you know if you're called to ministry? And I've often said this, if you can do something else and be satisfied, fulfilled, and happy with the rest of your life, then go do it, because God hadn't called you to ministry. I said, because the guy God's called won't be satisfied doing anything but ministry. Now, that's not to say that there are not certain talents and abilities that God gives you that you can use for his honor and for his glory, because I believe that those things happen and happen all the time. I've seen it. God's given me some favored things to do, but you can make those as a part of your ministry. So church family, today we gather in the presence of God to worship, to pray, and to set apart our brother Steve Kelly, you know, to the work of the gospel ministry. Now, ordination isn't the beginning of God's call, but it's the church's public recognition of the call on his life. It's a solemn affirmation that God has gifted, prepared, and called his servant to preach the word, to shepherd a flock, to serve the church, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that he may come in contact with. Today, our church joins with ordained ministers and deacons to affirm, to pray over, and to commission Steve for faithful service. We do this with humility, remembering that ministry belongs to Christ. The church belongs to Christ, and every servant of the gospel must answer to Christ. I never can let a moment like this go by. To me, it's a great thing when a man is called to serve and he answers that call, but there's also a lot that the Lord teaches us in his word concerning that call. And I want us to hear the words. You don't have to turn there, because Steve is actually bringing the message in a bit. I'm going to be bringing you a charge. But I want to refer us to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and particularly verses 1 through 5 that I will read for you. It says this. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So having heard the testimony of Steve and have been a part of the examination with a council of pastors through the Piedmont Association who have examined him in regard to his faith, his doctrine, his character, and his call to ministry, and having received the recommendation of the ordaining council, we now present Steve before Central Baptist Church for ordination to the gospel ministry. I am going to ask this at this particular point. Steve and Mari, if you would you make your way up to the bench right up here? It's hard, I know, at times, because you don't get to see family. They want to sit with family. I'm the spoil sport. I'm going to bring them up to the front. So as Steve and Mari make their way up to the front, it's also incredibly important to realize that a man who's been called by God has a teammate in his wife. And that is a very critical part of the ministry. Behind every good pastor, every wholesome pastor stands a wife who is something special. Mine is. She's put up with me for many years, and she's put up with a lot of different things. But I consider us a team as we go forward and as we serve the Lord. As they both stand here today, I want to charge Steve and ask and say, Steve, in the presence of God and before this congregation, I ask you to answer these questions with the words, I will. Steve, will you faithfully preach and teach the word of God, holding fast to the truth of Scripture and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise?
I will.
Will you seek to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, walking in humility, integrity, holiness, and dependence upon the Holy Spirit?
I will.
Will you shepherd God's people with love, patience, and compassion, caring for the hurting, encouraging the weak, and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry?
I will.
Will you guard the doctrine of the church, reject false teaching, and contend earnestly for the faith?
I will.
Will you be faithful in prayer, evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral care, seeking not your own glory, but the glory of Christ and the salvation of souls?
I will.
Will you love and serve your family as a witness to Christ's grace, and will you strive to keep your life and ministry above reproach?
I will.
Will you endure hardship, remain watchful in all things, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill the ministry God has entrusted to you?
I will.
Steve and Mari Kelly, you may be seated. Now for the church, as we come together and to our Central Baptist family, Steve does not enter the ministry alone. Yeah, the minister serves Christ among the people of God, and the church bears responsibility. The responsibilities that the church bears are to pray, to encourage, to support, and to hold Steve accountable in love. So therefore, I ask you, the church body, to answer these questions with the words, we will. Church, will you receive Steve as one whom this church recognizes as called and gifted by God for the gospel ministry? Will you pray for him, encourage him, and support him as he seeks to preach and teach the word and serve the Lord faithfully? Will you honor the word of God as it is faithfully preached? Test all things by Scripture and respond with obedience to Christ. Will you walk beside Steve in Christian love, offering grace, accountability, and fellowship as partners in the gospel? Will you labor together with him for the evangelism of the lost, the discipleship of believers, and the advancement of the kingdom of Christ? Thank you. I want to offer a few words today to Steve and anybody else within the sound of my voice who may be filled or led of the Lord to be called to take that passage. It's always been a favorite passage of mine, essentially, as a pastor. And if I were to title it, I would call it Fulfill the Ministry. And it comes out of the text that I read to you just a moment ago. So, Steve, today the church, in just a few moments, will lay hands on you. They'll pray over you, and they will recognize God's call upon your life. But the charge before you is not merely from a council. It's not merely from a congregation or from a presiding minister on a Sunday morning. The Apostle Paul begins with the words of that I consider of holy weight, and where he says this: I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. See, ministry is lived before the eyes of God. Preaching is done in the presence of Christ. Shepherding is carried out under the authority of the one who will return and judge all people. So every good preacher's got to have a few points. So I got a few points. First, fulfill your ministry by preaching the word. As Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. The minister is not called to preach preferences. The minister is not called to preach opinions. The minister is not called to preach trends. And the minister is not called to entertain. I believe that those words need to be heard today, because I think we head down that road in so many different churches. But yet the minister is called to preach the word of God. There will be a season when the word is welcomed, and there will be seasons when the word is resisted. There will be days when hearts are tender, and there will be days when hearts are hard. Yet the command remains the same: preach the word. Second, fulfill your ministry with patience and courage. Paul says in that passage, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. The preacher must sometimes convince the confused. He must sometimes rebuke the wandering, and he must exhort the weary. Yet he must do all of this with patience and with careful teaching. Truth without love can wound unnecessarily, and love without truth can leave people in danger. The faithful minister brings both together under the lordship of Christ. Third, fulfill your ministry in a time that may not endure sound doctrine. Paul warns, he says, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is not difficult to imagine. In fact, most of us are living in that time when they will not endure sound doctrine. I may be a simple country boy, but I've had a mantra pretty much my whole life when I've looked at what the Word of God says. You see, people will often desire messages that affirm their desires rather than confront their sin. They may turn from truth to fables. But Steve, your calling is not to please itching ears. Your calling is to honor Christ, to stand where Scripture stands, to speak where Scripture speaks, to be silent where Scripture is silent. Let the Bible shape your message. Let the Bible shape your ministry. And let the Bible shape your life. Finally, fulfill your ministry with watchfulness, endurance, evangelistic passion, and with faithfulness. Paul says this, but you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know what that means? Watch your heart. Watch your doctrine. Watch your family. Watch over the flock. Endure hardship without bitterness, for bitterness would be an easy road as a gospel minister. Keep the gospel at the center. Call sinners to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. Make disciples. Love the church. And when the work is hard, remember that the chief shepherd sees, knows, sustains, and rewards his servants. Steve, this charge is a high charge, but Christ is sufficient. The one who calls you is also the one who will keep you. The one who sends you is also the one who strengthens you. Therefore, preach the word. Love the people, guard the truth, endure the hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. In the Bible, we read that the laying on of hands is a biblical expression of affirmation. a biblical expression of blessing and a commissioning for ministry. The scripture says to us in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. It also says in Acts 13:3, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So at this time, what I want to do is I want to invite all ordained ministers present along with ordained deacons of our church to come forward. And I'm going to ask at this time if, Steve, if you would just come to the altar and kneel, I will move the flowers. And Mari, you can join him. Absolutely. Like I said, y'all in this together. He's not getting away being by himself. So I'm going to ask any ordained minister if you would make your way down to the front as well as our ordained deacons. Don't you guys be shy. Come on down. Yeah, not all at once. Don't run over each other, y'all. Come on down. I know there's more in here. I'm going to start calling you out. I see that person. You're going to gather around Steve and... You know, in just a moment, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer that you will have the opportunity to pray along. We're going to ask our church congregation for you to pray along with Steve and Mari as well. And then after a season, Art is going to come and offer the ordination prayer. So with that being said, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then, Art, after a certain amount of time, when you feel the Lord has led, you could come to the front, please, and lead us in the ordination prayer for Steve. Got it.
just to be alive, to be here, and to just to have an opportunity to quiet ourselves before you and just let you speak to us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you call us all to ministry. Lord, that you've given us all the gift of your Spirit. You've given us an opportunity to join you in the work that you're doing in our cities and in our world. And Lord, I thank you that, God, that there's this, Lord, that there's just this special opportunity, Lord, to recognize my dad, Lord, as he acknowledges and recognizes that, Lord, you've got something special for him. And Lord, you've always had something special for Dad. And Lord, you've been doing some amazing things, Lord, with all of the work that he's done through the years, through his work in the military, through his work in the school system and as a counselor, Lord, and now as he works and works with disaster relief and just continues to listen to where you're calling him to go. And God, it just, it inspires me and it encourages me, Lord, that, God, there is no age that we can reach, Lord, where you're not still wooing us and drawing us and embracing us and calling us to go forward. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for his example, for his model. Lord, may we all see what you're doing in him and Maury's life, Lord, and that, God, may we all answer the call. Lord, let us come beside him and encourage him and love him well. And Lord, just allow him to use the gifts that you've given him to be able to encourage your church and, Lord, to advance your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us. Your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. Lord, it's too much for us to even fathom. Lord, we are so grateful for who you are. We thank you for Jesus and for the way that you walk beside us, the way that you invite us to a life where we get to bear an easy yoke. Lord, where you get to walk beside us and we beside you, and we learn from you, the master teacher. So, Lord, I just pray that you will just bless my dad and Maury and, Lord, however long, Lord, you want to continue to leave them here on this earth and serve, which I hope is many, many more years, Lord. I pray that you would just allow them to just continue to listen to you and do what you say. And Lord, help us to have that as our story as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to ask our deacons to help Stevie and Maury up. And make sure the blood's flowing and everything. I know, listen, I've been there. I know what it is. We'll give you a minute to stabilize and to get ready. And what a special opportunity, Art. I know I had the privilege of being the ordination council clerk for my dad's ordination. Usually it's the other way around, you know, the father to the son. But it's kind of cool that we get to be in that in that same area that way. And thank you so much for your prayers, for all those who have taken time to come and to support Steve, and will continue to do so along the way. So now, is everybody stable? Okay, I'm gonna get Steve and Maury to come back up here, if you would, and have a seat just for a moment. And deacons that will be serving communion, you can take your place on the front row if you're gonna be one of our serving deacons here shortly. Now, we're not gonna let Steve get off the hook that easy just yet, but I do want to say that by the authority of Central Baptist Church and upon recommendation of the Ordination Council and in recognition of God's call upon Steve's life, Steve, we joyfully declare that you are duly ordained to the gospel ministry, and we commend you to the grace of God and to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
So Steve, I want to take a moment to present to you the symbol, the credential of your certificate of ordination. Knowing that we love you, we support you, and there'll probably be a lot of tears on that as you go forward. We look forward to what God's going to do with you. So you can hand that to Mari so she can take care of it. So we're glad to be able to present that. And like I say, one of the things that that we're also going to do as a church is we're going to present Steve with a Bible or a resource of his choice. Now, my thing is this. I always like to make sure that we get something that, he's going to use. I can still remember, I like a Bible. That was a very special ordination gift from the church that I serve. And what I'll do is once I get it, I'll get the guys to write a little something in it for you. But I want to make sure it's the one you want, something that you would use, and something that will not only have some names in it to commemorate this day, but will also be used for your service toward the Lord. So with that being said, Steve also gets another exciting thing on his first day in serving after his ordination service. He's going to bring a message to you. And I told him, I said, you make it short because they're already going to be mad at you. But listen, there's one thing you got. There's one thing you got going for you. We have lunch next door. And it's fried chicken, so you ain't gonna want to miss out on that. Well, yeah, you know, we definitely gonna beat all the other denominations, to the good eating places because we're gonna be eating right here. So, Steve, come deliver the word as God has laid it upon your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Love you, man. Thank
you. Well, I'm already totally awed and blessed. And I thank y'all for your support in this process. So before I get started, I want to recognize some family members who are here today. You heard from my son, Art, who delivered the ordination prayer. But we also have daughter, Ashley, and son-in-law, Christian, and Forrest. And my brothers are here, Jim, Mike, and his wife, Pat. I had my other brother and brother-in-law couldn't make it, but they're probably watching online. And I want to thank the pastor and you guys for all your support in this process. It's been a process, and I'm just thankful for the Lord for what he's going to do. I forgot, Robin and Richard are here also. My wife's sister, Robin, and her husband, Richard. So let me give you a little background on how we got to this point. Earlier this year, I was sensing that God wanted me to do something extra for him, something more for him. I deployed with the North Carolina Baptist on mission to Lindeen, Tennessee. And during that deployment, I encountered several opportunities in situations that required counseling, chaplaincy, and ministry. Had the opportunity to witness and encourage a pastor who was going through an extremely difficult time in his life. Also had an opportunity, what I call a divine encounter, going up on top of a mountain in Tennessee to see this lady that desperately needed some inspiration and encouragement. And during that trip, I also had the pleasure of planning and conducting an entire worship service from start to finish. Something that's not exactly in my wheelhouse, but the Lord brought me through it. So when I was doing this ministry trip, the mission trip, I sensed the Lord's additional calling in my life. But I was not sure what the call was going to be. I kept hearing this song on the radio called Dusty Bibles by Josiah Queen. And you'll hear more about that as we go through the sermon today. But at any rate, when I got back from deployment, I talked to Pastor Roy, and he had the wisdom to say, perhaps the Lord is calling you to be an ordained minister to enhance and give more credibility to your disaster relief chaplaincy. I'm like, hello, bingo. Pastor Roy is also a North Carolina Baptist on Mission chaplain and knows that being an ordained pastor would help enhance and bring that credibility to my duties and responsibility as a disaster relief chaplain. The ministry calling was further confirmed to me with this week that I spent in Western West Virginia. I'll tell you more about that some other time, but God's at work there, even in a very dark place. So I was not sure how best to prepare for the ordination process. I know I'm too old, too cheap, and too grumpy to go back to school. So I did the next best thing. I started studying scriptures and doctrine that I thought might be asked at that ordination council, and that was a lot of stuff. I kind of disappeared for a couple months at home. My wife was like, hello, you still alive? But Pastor Roy helped me by giving me some sample ordination questions, and which allowed me to drink from the fire hose during that preparatory time. I've prayed about what to preach on today. I told Pastor Roy that I was going to preach a hellfire and damnation sermon, just like the pastor at my granny's funeral in some years back in Rocky Mount, Virginia, Franklin County. I kid you not when I tell you that the preacher there during her service pounded King James Bible on the pulpit and said, if you ever want to see Granny again, you better get saved. And that's exactly how he put it. I decided that that type of sermon might not have the desired impact that I wanted for today. So the Holy Spirit led me instead to talk on what more can we do for the Lord. I hope that you will be blessed by this, my first official sermon, and take some of these thoughts home with you. So let's pray before we start. Father, please guide us as we walk through what your word wants us to tell us today. Bless all those who hear this message and give us some insights as to what we can do to better serve you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Our scripture today comes from Matthew 25, 14 through 13. If we can have that first slide up. I'm not going to read that whole passage to you, but it's this familiar passage where the master calls his three servants. He's going on a journey and he calls his servants and he gives one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. So he goes away and he's gone for a long time. And when he comes back, he calls in the servants to settle the account. And the servant that he gave 5 talents to earned an additional 5 talents. The servant he gave 2 talents to earned an additional 2 talents. But the one servant buried his talent in the ground while his master was gone and didn't earn anything on it. So Jesus is talking about, our focal is 21 and 28 through 30. And the master is talking to the first two servants and commending them for what they did with their talents. And the master said to both of them, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But with the third servant, he wasn't that happy with him because he made comments. So he said, take the talent away from the one that had the one talent and give it to him who has 10. In verse 29, we see the master saying, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. The master rewarded the first two individuals who invested and made good use of their talents. A key point here is that the master is not so much concerned with the amount given to the servants, rather in their faithfulness in utilizing their gifts and potential. The third servant's mismanagement of the talent and failure to get any type of return on it results in him being cast out of the kingdom of God. Dr. John McCarthy, on his commentary on this passage, tells us that this parable represents the tragedy of wasted opportunity. The man who goes on the journey represents Christ, and the servants represent professing believers that are given different levels of responsibility. Faithfulness is what Jesus demands of them, and the parable suggests that all who are faithful should be and will be fruitful to some degree. Two truths to note here. First, as believers, through the grace of God, we have all been given gifts and talents, and as recipients of God's divine grace, inherit immeasurable blessings in addition to eternal life and the favor of God. Second, those who despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, and cling instead to the transient goods of the world, will ultimately lose everything they have. We see here that using God-given abilities wisely and productively is a vital aspect of discipleship and will be rewarded with additional opportunities to serve God faithfully. Hold on to these thoughts as we go through. We might have a shorter sermon if my voice goes out. Our first major point here is that if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, how do we learn to serve the Lord better? Well, to answer that question, we have to say, what are we doing for Him now? How am I serving the Lord now? How am I using my talents and abilities? There are several other scriptures that come to mind here about gifts and talents. Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul lists some more spiritual gifts, such as prophecy, teaching, exhortations, giving, leading, and showing mercy. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and verse 28 lists gifts including wisdom, healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, and administration. Many Christians talk about spiritual gifts, and many of us have taken a spiritual gifts inventory at some point in our lives. But if I ask you today, what's your spiritual gifts? You go, well, I don't know. But not all of us may have the gift of administration or teaching. But again, we each have talents and abilities we can use for the Lord. In our church, we have many that teach Sunday school. They're greeters. They're part of a fellowship team. They're part of a share and care ministry. They work with Awanas. They deliver Meals on Wheels. Some of us are members of the North Carolina Disaster on Missions, Mission on Disasters. And we have one lady in our church who supports herself and goes on medical mission trips around the world. Many of you already know that we do a week at Camp Carefree working with special needs kids. And we also go to Cuba once a year where we minister to the retirement center, the regional Baptist Awana missionary, and pastors who are serving and building churches. The Lord reminds us in Matthew 9:37, this is a familiar passage, should be, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you get that? God has prepared work for us already, and all we need to do is say yes. We need to use those gifts and talents for the Lord. The second point is, do we live our lives in such a way that others know that we're Christians? How can we better serve the Lord if no one knows what we believe? Matthew 5:14-16 reminds us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to ask ourselves, do our family members, co-workers, and neighbors even know we're Christians? Be aware, is our behavior different at work than it is at home? We recently had training from the Every Believer a Witness program, and the tracts are right over there on the wall. But I wonder how many of us have tracts in our pockets and have used what we learned to share our faith with others. James 2:14-17 tells us, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So we need to keep asking ourselves, what am I doing for you, Lord? How can I serve you better? Our third point, in the words of our pastor, how's your prayer life? Have you asked God what you can do for Him? We have the great privilege to take our praises and concerns straight to the Father. Maybe our gift is being a prayer warrior and doing intercessory prayer for others. So, do you use prayer as a gracious gift to feel His presence, to draw your strength from that quiet place of prayer? Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, prayer without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. James 5:16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is communication with God. Sometimes you may be surprised at your answer to prayers. Some of y'all have heard me tell this story. When I lived in Slidell, Louisiana, I used to go out and bike through the neighborhoods before I went to work. And I would also pray. Of course, I'd have my eyes open. But one day when I was out praying on my bicycle, the Lord clearly told me, said, Steve, I want you to go back to graduate school and get your doctorate in counseling. And I'm like Moses, like, God, you got the wrong person. I hate school. I don't have time. I'm busy with work and just my life. And I don't have time. But all he said was go. But since I was obedient, he showed me where to go. He provided money to do it, and he also allowed me to finish up that degree. And during that time, it was particularly hard because my wife, Cindy, got leukemia, and she died. But again, the Lord walked me through this process. And many of you know, I know Dr. John knows, he probably had, there was after about 5 years and 86 rewrites on my dissertation, the Lord finally gave me that Post-Hole Digger Award. And it was just a matter of being obedient. So when you pray, God listens, and he may at times surprise you with his answer. This ties into our fourth point. Many of us desire to be closer to the Lord, to draw closer to him, but where do we find time in our busy lives? How does the Lord speak to us? The Lord has given us his word, his special revelation, in the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth in the Scriptures. God's word is truth. Psalm 119:160 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. We need to have a regular scheduled prayer time and Bible reading to deepen our faith. Finding time to study God's word can be challenging, but it's worth the effort. There are many devotional books out there that can help, but your greatest asset in knowing God comes from his word and in the Scriptures. While reading your Bible, I would encourage you to focus on verses and see what God's trying to tell you with your life and how to apply them in your life. Memorize scripture that can come to mind during those times when you might be tempted, such as Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Spend time in prayer thanking the Lord for what he's done and ask that he daily guide your steps. Small groups can help us grow in our faith. If you're not already in a Bible study or a D-Life group, I would encourage you to join one. Society in general just doesn't read anymore. It's not just the Bibles, but print magazines, books, etc. I'm reading a book called Reader Come Home, The Reading Brain in a Digital World by Marianne Wolfe. The author laments that the next generation of adults who are so adept in multitasking and with quick access to multiple sources of knowledge will fail to develop slower, more demanding, deep reading processes such as critical reasoning and perspective, leaving them vulnerable to false information. Wow. Wolf also states that skimming has become the new norm, that short circuits the timer needed for inferential thinking, critical analysis, reflection, and empathy. Princeton University recently made headlines when they encouraged purposeful skimming instead of critical reading to the incoming class of 2030. Don't skim God's word. It should be read, studied, and savored. That contemporary Christian song I mentioned earlier by Josiah Queen, can you put that up? This song represents a stark contrast between a pristine, highly utilized smartphone and a neglected, dust-gathering Bible. The lyrics directly hint of widespread signs of anxiety, emptiness, and mental exhaustion while displacing spiritual focus. We got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why I feel this way. We walk with our eyes closed, blind leading blind folks, and I'm done with these idols and dusty Bibles. This song challenges the common excuse of lacking time and questioning, are we too busy and can't find time, or is it all just a lie? Listen to this song when you get out and get a chance. So our conclusion, most of us say we're too busy or don't have time to study our Bibles or to get involved with the Lord at church or in the community. It's hard to grow our faith unless we exercise it. Redeem the time. Get that dust off your Bible. Make studying your Bible and dedicated prayer time a priority. Get involved in that Bible study. Ask the Lord to show you how and when to use your talents and make good use of them as the two servants did in Matthew. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, says, if we are in fellowship and oneness with God and recognize that He is taking us into His purposes, then we will no longer strive to find out what those purposes are. Wow. So we need to learn how to witness and be a light for the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Last and more importantly, if you do not already know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to ask Him into your heart today. There may not be a tomorrow. I believe that we're seeing a lot of signs of end times and that Christ is coming back soon. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of folks that I want to see when I get to heaven, including my granny. You probably have a loved one there as well that you want to see. And we need to remember the words of the old country preacher and fill in the blanks. If you ever want to see, you need to get saved. I challenge you, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's no better time than now. If you're already saved, I encourage you to study God's Word. Use your talents for God's kingdom, and in so doing, shine the light of Christ into the lost and dying world. The Lord led me into Disaster Relief Chaplaincy 3 years ago, and that's truly been a blessing. He's now called me into ministry to further enhance my Disaster Relief Chaplaincy work. What's He calling you to do? Make time for the Lord. Put down the iPhone. Turn off the TV. Pick up God's Word and pray. Ask the Lord what more you can do for Him, and then go do it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for those who may not know You as Lord and Savior today and ask You to come in their hearts and forgive their sins and grant them eternal life. Help us to discern Your will for our lives, to get plugged in and shine the light of Jesus in a lost and dying world. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Just like the old country preacher. If you ever want to see Grandma again, you better know Jesus. Today is your opportunity to do that. Now is the appointed time. You know, it's not because of what any of us know. It's what the Lord puts in your heart. You can feel it. You can hear Him talking to you.
I mean, He's knocking on that heart's door. The question is, what have you done with it? I cannot say this enough. It's not enough to know about Jesus. One must know Jesus. There's a difference. I've often said I know a lot about George Washington, but I never met the man. Don't know anything about him. Studied about him, but you know what? That doesn't mean I knew him. Jesus says you must know Him. He said, I went to the cross, through the grave, and resurrected on the third day that you might have eternal life. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, yes, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. And Lord, I give my life to You. Forgive me. Have you ever done that? Listen, if that's you and that's what the Lord's put on your heart, I know that everybody within the sound of my voice isn't right here. There will be some that will be watching this broadcast later on. There'll be some that will be watching it overseas. But I'll tell you this. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day. If you need Jesus and you feel His call in your heart to salvation, you can simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I realize I am a sinner. I need You as my Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save my soul. And help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've often said that's not the magic, oh, I checked off the box, I prayed the prayer, I talked with the pet. No, that's the beginning. That's you opening the door and him coming in. Now, you good old country southern folks, somebody knocks on your door and you open the door and say, come on in. What do you do next? Stare at each other? No, maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe you start learning to get to know one another. And that is exactly what discipleship is. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus, let us know. When we start to sing in just a minute so that we just don't church everything up, yeah, that's the invitation hymn. Listen, I want you to let me know. Come down here. Nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to laugh at you. You don't even have to turn around and face all people. You can stay facing this way. But we want to help you on that journey, and we want to celebrate with you as well. You know, the Lord says that when you've trusted him, he wants you to follow in believer's baptism. Have you done that? Have you been faithful and obedient to do those things? Maybe you're here today and you know Christ, but yet you've got that dusty Bible and that new iPhone, and everything is crowding out the Lord in your life. Maybe you're sitting on talents and abilities that you have refused to use for his honor, for his glory. I can tell you, it will be the journey of your life when you are obedient to him and you start using those things for him. Don't find yourself in the situation, he said, for the one that didn't even utilize his talent, what happened? It was taken away from him. Use it for God's glory. I promise you won't wear it out. It'll be just fine until he calls you home. What decision has the Lord put on your heart? As always, this is a good old-fashioned altar. If you need to spend some time at it, you're more than welcome to do so. We encourage that. If you need to see me, I will be here today. But you deal with what the Lord's put on your heart together as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 275, I Surrender All. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you continue to do business with God. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day. Will you make it right with him? Whatever he's put on your heart, will you surrender to his call in your life? Whatever it may be, you do it now. Don't let this moment end. You come. Thank you. ask that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You truly are good to us, and Lord, all provision comes from You. And Lord, I pray that we truly would consider this time an act of worship. We read about giving many times in Your Word, and I pray, Father, that You would help us to worship You by returning to You the tithe and the offering. And Lord, we ask that You might truly bless the gift as well as the giver. May people truly come to know You because we've been faithful to give You back that portion that You've so richly blessed us with. Lord, again, bless the gift and the giver. Help us to be wise stewards with what is Yours, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Lord's table. I love what the scripture said, and I can imagine what it was like that evening that they were in the upper room together, and what a blessing to stand in that upper room where they had that Last Supper, and to look around to remember what the scriptures said about it, and what a critical and an important time that was for those disciples and for you and I. And I love it as the Lord says this. He says, as they came around the table, or as we read in the scripture, it says, but let a man examine himself. So we always take this moment to look, to make sure, to seek the Spirit in our life, to see if there's any area of our life that needs to be surrendered to Him. Maybe some bitterness, maybe some ought against someone that would hinder us from being proper as we come around the Lord's table. As always, as we partake in communion is for those who have trusted the Lord and Savior of their life. So if you're a born-again believer, you're more than welcome to join us today in communion. Trust and pray that you will as the Lord leads in your life. But the Word says, but let a man examine himself. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we look inside our hearts and as we listen to what the Spirit says to us, that we might prepare our hearts to come around the table. Let's pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to just be in the stillness in Your presence. Lord, for the blessings that have already happened in this place today. And Lord, as we prepare to come around Your table, one of the ordinances that You commanded us to do, to remember You, to remember Calvary, to remember the sacrifice, to remember how we identify with You. So Lord, as we come around Your table today, I pray that our hearts would be pure, right, and ready. Lord, we might fool those that are around us, but we will never fool You. You know every thought, You know every hair on our head. So, Lord, may we stand before you honest today at your table. Lord, may you bless us. And Lord, we pray that you will move us close to you as we remember Calvary, but Lord, most of all, as we remember the resurrection. Speak to our hearts as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother David, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to remember the gift of Christ that you gave to us, who came to earth and died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later. Lord, we just ask that you bless all who partake of this bread as we remember the gracious gift that you gave to each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It says that he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it. He passed it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can remember your great sacrifice on Calvary's cross, that through your death, burial, and resurrection, that we might have the opportunity to know you as personal Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you bless the cup as it represents your blood that's given for us. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup. To me, this is one of the most exciting times because he explained to his disciples, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And we know that the word tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We know that what was going on was that there had to be the repeated animal sacrifices because it was not a once for one and all
all-inclusive forgiveness of that because of the blood of that animal. That blood wasn't perfect, but Jesus Christ's blood was perfect. He said, there will be a new covenant in my blood. In other words, there wouldn't have to be any more animal sacrifices. The shed blood of Jesus Christ covers every sin, past, present, and future. And what a blessing that is. So he was explaining to his disciples, he said, this is a new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The word says, for as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. And what a joy and a privilege that is. I'm going to, David, if you will help Jimmy recover the element table, and then I will give you a few things, and we will get you on over to next door for lunch. We would certainly love to have you join us as we continue to celebrate with Steve and his ordination. Come be a part of the family, but there's a few things I want to let you know. Birthdays that we've got coming up this week. Debbie's is Tuesday. Debbie McDonald's is Tuesday, you know, coming up, as well as Richard Brackett. Richard's got a birthday, both on Tuesday. So then Wednesday, Wednesday, Mark Vernon. There he is. He was right up here. I just talked to you. Mark Vernon's birthday will be on Wednesday the 12th. We do have a couple of anniversaries coming up this week. On Monday, Betty and John Cazito will be celebrating their anniversary, as well as on Tuesday, Doris and Bob Hartsfield will be having an anniversary. So be sure to let them know how much you love them. And like I say, they probably take checks, cash, might even have a Venmo account. You just send them something. But I do encourage these folks along the way, particularly Miss Doris, as she's trying to get back on her feet, and we'll try to keep you posted on her as we go. Just a couple of things. We're not going to have afternoon or evening services tonight because, you know, you will be here most of the day from the luncheon and everything else. The same for choir practice. We will pick up our normal schedule next Sunday with morning and evening services. Just the upcoming events for this week, Monday, Steve and Mari's D-Life groups will meet. Steve's at 6 o'clock here at the church, Mari's 6:30 at their home. Then on, we just want to let you know this, on Tuesday as well as Friday of this week, Revolution Academy will be having an open house where the parents will come by and see the facility where their children will be in school. That's going to be on Tuesday from 8 in the morning till 9 p.m. and on Friday from 8 in the morning till 9 p.m. So just keep that in your mind if you've got something going on around here at the church. Make note of that. Just a couple things we got future events coming up. Next Sunday, we will have our annual business meeting right after our service. So it'll be right at 12 o'clock. Copies of the personnel handbook for our policies and procedures addendum are in the narthex for your review. If you need a copy of that, you can let us know. But their personnel is putting out a handbook. This is not something that's part of our policies right now, but it's like an employee handbook that talks about vacation, different things. There's a couple of copies of that back there if you would like to take a look at that. But we're giving that as a one-week notice prior to coming into our next week's conference. As well, the nominating committee also has a report back there in the narthex so that you can feel free to look that over, or if you need a copy of that. And as always, if you have any questions about any of those, about the employee handbook, contact Tammy Gardner with personnel. If you have any questions about nominating, you can contact Tammy Bowman. We got two Tammys going on, Tammy Bowman in regard to nominating committee. But these will be things that we'll vote on. If you have any questions, please try to get those answered before next Sunday's conference through the committees. That helps helps with our time. So those two things are back there in the back. As a reminder, on August the 22nd, starting at 5 o'clock p.m., will be the retirement party for David Miller. Our David Miller, there's a sign-up sheet back there in the narthex. Please take a moment to sign up. All the food's going to be provided for that, but we would certainly just like to know how many to prepare for. Also, if you'd like to bring a card or a personal note or something to David and Donna, please do that. We'll have a table set up where you can put those and any gifts that you want to make personal. We want you to do this. If you're going to give David and Donna a financial gift, please make the check out to them. And here's the reason why. If you make it out to us, the church is going to do a gift for them. But if you give it to the church, then what happens is the church has to include it as taxable income. So, you know, you'd be better off just to, you know, to give it to him personally. So be sure to do that. And then the church will also be doing a separate love gift for David and Donna. Once again, that's on the 22nd. Ladies Connection, your next meeting is on September the 9th, 4 o'clock p.m. right here. And then your September the 20th will be the quarterly business meeting in the sanctuary. That's September 20th. We're a little bit ahead. These are future events. So September the 20th will be our quarterly business meeting. And then my D-Life group and Awana will start back up as well on September the 20th. So one thing that I want to do in just a moment, we're going to dismiss and go next door. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the blessing. I'll probably do the blessing over there. But at any rate, once we get over there, I'll return thanks, and then we'll have an opportunity to get together and get something to eat. I do have one more announcement that I want to make, but we want to make sure that we go off of the air for that. So if you'll bear with us for just a moment as we take our feet down, okay? I think I just got the thumbs up and our feet down. The reason why.